Welcome to Nintendo Dad's episode 87. On tonight's show, we discuss the NES Mini Classic Edition, Animal Crossing gets an update 4 years later, and Justin finally gets Pokemon Go, plus your questions and so much more. Zach, cue the music. Oh wait, yeah, right, there's no Zach, so I guess that's me? All right. Welcome, everyone. It is July 20th, 2016. My name's Justin Mass, and as you may or may not notice, Zach Erickson is not with us today. So, ladies and gentlemen, your national nightmare, your long-concerned national nightmare, hashtag let Justin host, has finally occurred. We're excited to be here. I'm here, of course, with Jesse Waldack from VG Tribune. Jesse, what's going on, buddy?
Remember what happened last time Zach wasn't here?
Yeah, we couldn't actually do an episode without him. So fingers crossed this actually happens.
Right.
For those of you that don't know, the last time we did this, it was just Jesse and I, about a year ago this time, actually.
And we
did the episode. It was great. I thought it was probably our best episode ever. I really, truly believe that.
It was a work of art.
It was. It was masterful. I mean, it probably would have won some kind of podcasting awards. It was just beautiful. And it really let Jesse and I shine, because I always feel like Zach's just holding us back. Really, I think that's the reality of the situation. And the actual reality of the recording was that I had forgot to choose my input from my microphone. So the only track was you talking to yourself.
So he gave me a 90-minute audio file of silence.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
We tried having each of us record our own track.
Yeah, let's be honest, right? I am the producer. I line up guests. I fill out our documents. I do the PR. I'm not the technical wizard here. You guys are, but it was great. But Jesse, what's going on? How's your week been treating you?
It's been really busy with work, but I have been able to get in a little bit of Pokemon Go in.
Yeah.
I was hoping to get more actual gaming in, but not so much. So hopefully this weekend with my wife and daughters will be out of town for the weekend, so I'll be able to get some Tokyo Mirage Sessions time in finally, I hope.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely. So what level are you on Pokemon Go?
I just got to 11.
Oh, okay. So that's not too shabby, right? Yeah, I like that. Sweet. Okay, very cool. Well, why don't we just kind of jump right into the news? We've got some pretty cool things to discuss. I'm really interested in hearing your thoughts on a couple of these, and we've got some great email as well. So we're gonna jump right into that. I'm gonna grab a random sound clip off of the soundboard. So let's see what happens here. All right, here we go. Let's jump right into the news.
Let's roll the dice.
Yeah.
I'm a kid. I'm a squid.
All right, that was I'm a kid. I'm a squid.
That was different.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when Zach's gone, you just, you know.
Please understand.
I mean, that's really the best I can do, right? that's really the best we can do. Of course, Jesse, you and I both know, but of course our fans have to know that our news is brought to us by 1UpBox.com. We have an awesome partnership with 1UpBox.com. They send us a box every month. We unbox it online, post on our YouTube channels. I love their stuff. They send their exclusive t-shirts in there every single month. If you guys like getting geeky boxes sent to you every single month, head over to 1upbox.com. Because we love you and they love you, use the code NintendoDads to get money off your first box. Thank you very much to 1upbox.com for their partnership. All right, so let's head over to the news. Jesse, kind of an interesting news week, right? If I thought it was, at least.
It definitely was more exciting than the last like 2 or 3 weeks. We actually have stuff to talk about.
Yeah, and I guess the big thing, right, like the heavy hitter, the thing that, you know, knocked out, punched out, was actually Thursday morning, right after you guys recorded with good friend Adam from Mega Dads, I guess Thursday morning.
Stuff like this always happens after we record.
Yeah, I don't know why we record on a Wednesday. We really should record on a Thursday, because that's Nintendo, like, traditionally drops out big hitters on their Thursday morning. So I don't know what's wrong with us. It's because, to be honest, we like to try and get like a day ahead of IGN and just sound like we're really smart and we're not regurgitating their stuff,
and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. In this case, it didn't. But on Thursday morning, Nintendo announces the NES Classic Edition with what appears to be the size of a hamburger in your hand, or that person has the largest freaking hands in the world. To actually roll this thing out. So Jesse,
for the hamburger size.
Yeah, the hamburger size. So Jesse, what are your thoughts on the NES The NES Mini, or I guess we should probably do a little bit of a breakdown of it, I guess, right? I do have some information on it.
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think the website that Nintendo has set up is great.
Yeah.
It brings back that old NES marketing nostalgia.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They're really leaning into this kind of like old school retro feel, right? Like the box is the old NES box, or at least the NES box look. Obviously, they've modernized it a little bit. The NES controller box is the same, right? Like this definitely feels, and even reading their PR statement, I laugh. It says, if you see a Nintendo Entertainment System on store shelves this holiday shopping season, you haven't entered a time machine, unless everyone around you is wearing acid-washed jeans and neon leg warmers. If that's the case, you have... Yeah, if that's the case, you've unknowingly walked into a rift in the space-time continuum. Great Scott, Marty! Yeah. So they launched this thing. So this is really quite cool. This is a preloaded NES, and we do say it's, I mean, it looks in the picture about the size of a cheeseburger, right? Or I guess what I would say, an American cheeseburger, so it's a little bit larger. But it comes loaded, preloaded with 30 NES classic games. And it comes with an NES controller, HDMI cable, AC, adapter. I'm going to run through these games here. Actually, I'll pause there. What do you think of this so far? Are you excited for this, Jesse?
I am. And I think the number one reason to buy this game is that controller. Because notice what the controller ports are.
They're old. Well, what are they? What am I missing here?
You don't recognize the shape?
Well, now I want to. Other than the fact they're the old NES, wait, what is that?
That's the bottom of a Wii remote.
Son of a! Oh yeah, it is.
So you can, well, apparently player one has to use the NES controller that comes with it. Player two can use any classic controller or classic controller pro that you would use in a Wii remote.
That's fantastic.
And then also on the other side, you can use the packed in controller with your Wii remote and play your NES virtual console games on your Wii or Wii U.
That is awesome.
With an authentic controller. That's the part I'm actually most excited about.
So in theory, could I just buy the NES controller and attach that to my Wii remote and to play?
Play whatever you purchase on virtual console?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Really? Huh. Now I'm even more interested in Nintendo. Well played. Well played.
I know a lot of other shows who've talked about this, you know, are more looking at the list of games and saying, yes, it's good, or meh, not so much, and not really looking at the hardware.
Yeah.
But me as a collector, I don't care about the games. It's the hardware piece that I'm more interested in.
Yeah,
So really, really didn't matter what games came packed in. I'm wanting this thing, and I'm wanting that controller.
Yeah. Now, speaking of the games that did get packed in, we're not going to run over like all 30 of them, obviously, but I've got a pretty extensive list here. I just want to kind of pull out some highlights. Balloon Fight, Bobble Bobble, Castlevania 1 and 2, Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr., Double Dragon 2, Dr. Mario, Excitebike, Final Fantasy, Ghosts and Goblins, Ice Climbers, Kid Icarus, Kirby's Adventure, Mega Man 2, Metroid, Ninja Gaiden, Punch-Out, featuring Mr. Dream, Pac-Man, Star Tropic, Super Mario, Super Mario Bros. 2, Super Mario 3, Legend of Zelda, and Zelda 2, The Legend of Link. That's a top shelf. Yeah.
You say you're not going to read all the games, but you still read like 25 of them.
Yeah, I still read a good chunk of them. I was scrolling through. I was like, that's a pretty good chunk. It's not all of them. It's pretty good. But that is pretty sweet. What do you think? You're not really worried about the software, but is there anything on there that's got you like, yeah, I'm pumped to try that?
There are some games here I'm kind of like, oh, I would have liked it a little bit if they swapped it out with another game. Ice Climbers, you know, put in another Mega Man instead.
Right.
But all in all, I'm liking this set of games. I'm excited to see Final Fantasy in here. And, you know, on the other hand, then I kind of wish Dragon Warrior was in here.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also thinking, if you look at the, scroll back up. If you look at the full name of this item.
Yes.
It is, you know, and if you look at the, like, the Amazon listing, The full name of the item is Nintendo Entertainment System : NES Classic Edition, which makes me think there might be more products in this line.
Yeah, and that's, and I mean, that, you know, there's a, you know, we're cracking open a can of everything here now, but you're right. Like, is this, are we going to see in 6 months the SNES Classic Edition? The, could we see the N64 Classic Edition?
Or maybe is the NX name something related to this?
What if this is the NX? Boom. They're like, you know what's working? Old school stuff. Pokemon appears popular. Let's just throw this at them and we're good here, y'all.
So the, a lot of the games that look missing might show up in NES Mini 2.
See, and here's, and it, so here's the thing that I kind of was thinking. So when I saw this, and it's so funny, I was out, those of you who didn't know, last, I think Zach mentioned the show, I was out camping last week. I could have dialed in through Skype, but I had poor connection out there. Nonetheless, so I kind of get up in the morning, and I'm going through my line chat and all, you know, with our good Patreon subscribers, and that's where I found out about this thing, and I was like, what is going on? So then I jump over to like Facebook. Facebook's flooding with this. Then I jump over to the press release and get this information. And the first thing I thought of when I saw it, and it was, again, I didn't really read the press release. I just saw it at a glance. Was I was like, oh, this is going to be able to put like my old cartridges in it as well, right? I thought, yeah. So let's pump those brakes right there. So
nope, the cartridge is probably bigger than this unit.
Yeah, that's exactly it, right? So there was a couple things that when I saw this, my brain started flooding of like, and this, I had not read the press release. We had not got a lot of information at this point of like, oh, this is going to be awesome. Here are some things that Nintendo can really do with it. Because I think this is a, I think it's a really cool idea. I do, but I'm gonna put a big like pause in that. I think this is a really good idea, but I think Nintendo missed the boat, and I'm gonna play the heel card on this episode. I'm gonna be the angry, grumpy Zach role of when he doesn't love Nintendo stuff, because I think they made a huge mistake with this, and I'm gonna tell you why I think they made a huge mistake with this, Jesse, and I'd love to hear your counterpoints to this. A, it's not connected to the network. You cannot connect it to a Wi-Fi network. B, it does not have expandable memory. And C, it doesn't put my old cartridges in there. Now, that one I can get around. But my thought was, if this could connect to the network, right, you sign in with your My Nintendo account.
Do you want a standalone virtual console machine?
I do. And I want for them to then publish out a second batch of the the Classic Mini 2, where then you can have in the eShop for $30, you get another 30 NES games.
And I do have a counter argument.
Okay, but I'm thinking like this. I'm gonna pause though. I feel like that's a huge mistake because they have such an opportunity to be upselling you more and to be like connecting all these things. I'm going to pause. You go ahead, Jesse.
Okay. Yeah, IGN's podcast actually did a little jokingly said that this is now yet another device that is not connected to an account where the games are attached to the device. And yet everyone's going to be buying this thing happily and not calling Nintendo out on it.
Well, that's exactly it, right? Like, come on. Like, at least, like, okay, I get the fact that the NES cartridge doesn't, like, I can, like, that's something I'm okay to live without. I'm like, all right, I can, it's the size of a hamburger. I get you. All right, I get you. But to say that it is not connected to a network and you can download another, you know, opportunity for Nintendo to sell you Edition 2 of another 30 games is a huge miss on their opportunity.
Okay, now here's why I think the number one reason is why they don't do what you want it to do.
Because they don't love me.
They don't want people to mod it and hack it and install their own garbage on it.
But couldn't you? I mean, you could do the exact same thing, though, currently with your Wii.
Yes. You know, and the Wii U if you're daring enough. But, you know, that's one of the reasons why they released the Wii Mini. Wii Mini has no SD slot, so it cannot be modded.
Okay, so I'm okay with... Okay, so let me change my statement then. I'm okay with it not having an SD slot. But what I want there to be is a lot of...
There's no network connectivity in the Mini either.
Right, so if you gave this network connectivity and a large enough hard drive, Right? Like, okay, let's all take one step back, though. NES games do not take up a lot of space.
True, but right? As soon as you open up any mechanism of adding new content, someone will find a way to take that to advantage and mod it. And Nintendo is pretty adamant against that sort of thing, and rightfully so.
Right. I don't know. Like I was, like, when I saw it, I said to my wife, I was like, oh my God, this is so awesome. This is something I want. And then like, the more I'm reading it, the more I'm thinking, I'm like, I don't really know if it is. Like, I've got an old school NES here. I have got some pretty sweet games, cartridge based still. I've got a pretty good virtual console collection of NES games.
Yeah, I own most of these games already in one way or another. I think I have owned every one of them.
Yeah.
You know, if you go back, if I could ever find my collection from when I was 15 years old, which I doubt I'll ever find again.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is still a thing I'm planning on picking up.
Right, eh? Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, from, like, let's, you know, taking a step back, like, from the me playing it perspective, from the optics of, like, the hardware, what they're doing, it's cool. I just think they missed the ball on some of it. And I just think that's too bad. But I would also say, kudos for the third-party licensing, right? Because they got some third parties on there, too.
I am glad they got third parties in, and not everything is just Nintendo Black Box.
Yeah.
Because then you would have probably had even more just, you know, C-grade games
that right.
No one wants.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. All right, well, so you're in for this. I know that Zach is as well.
Yeah, cause, like, you know, Castlevania 2 and Zelda 2, even though they seem to be the heels of their respective franchises, I liked them just because they were different. Because, you know, at the time, there was no set formula, so they just decided to try something different. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to playing those again.
Nice. Nice. Any other kind of like final thoughts on this thing before we move on? Price point's not bad, right? I mean, I think it's reasonably priced.
I think I would have liked $50 more than $60, but yep. It would have made it more of an impulse buy. Okay, $60, you do have to think about it, but I'm going to pay the $60.
Right.
I think it's still just that right price. If they try to go any higher, then people would be walking away from it more.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And I guess, you know, and actually up in the Great White North, it's actually $79.99 for this thing. Plus another. Now it does come with a packaged in controller, but an additional controller is $12. This is nearly costing you up in the Great White North $100.
Yeah. And the extra controllers here, I think, is 10.
Yeah, that's way to go, economy. Yeah, all of our free healthcare, that's what's costing us the free money.
So, how much did you say the system is?
$79.99 in Canada.
All right, I just did a Google search for how much is $60 US in Canadian, and it says $78.31. So it's actually pretty dead on to what the exchange rate is.
Yeah, so it's pretty... pretty close, eh?
And then you're actually getting a dollar off on the controller. $10 works out to be 13 Canadian.
Interesting. Okay.
So it isn't as bad if you look at it that way.
No, I guess not, eh? I guess it's not as, horrible. So, all right. Very cool. What else am I going to say about that? I think I had something, but now it's gone.
Bye-bye.
Oh, what? Do you yeah, thank you. This is what happens when Zach's not here. I don't know how to post, apparently. What do you want to see next for the Classic Edition? Do you want to go SNES?
Eventually, but I think there's still enough good NES games out there that could probably put out an edition too.
So do you think they're gonna be? Oh, what if they did like a Famicom edition? That'd be sweet.
If they did, though, they really need to have the mic working in the controller and then have the Legend of Zelda use it properly like the Famicom Zelda used it.
Okay.
Are you familiar with how that worked?
No, but yeah. Now I'm interested. Tell me more.
So do you know the enemy Pole's voice? It's the yellow thing. It looks like a jumping rabbit.
Oh yeah.
With the big ears.
Right.
The hint to destroy it is they hate the noise.
Hmm.
What how you have to kill them in North American version is shoot it with an arrow. It's down in one hit. But I never understood why that has to do with noise. It makes no sense. Because an arrow is pretty quiet. In the Famicom version, you blow in the mic, and they all go poof.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, well, now that's interesting. Huh. Okay. All right. Very, very cool.
Or you yell in the mic, whatever. And they got a whole room full of them. The whole room will poof at once.
That's very cool.
I've seen video of that. I think it was like Angry Video Game or something did that, and it was pretty amusing.
Nice. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Well, that's very cool. So NES, that's coming out, and it's coming out in November, right? November, I think it's
November 11th.
November 11th. Very cool. Awesome. This is
the day in North America.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Up here, that's Remembrance Day. Nothing like a good way to celebrate soldiers than video games, I guess, apparently. might want to choose another day for your release date there, Nintendo. But it's interesting, right? Like
releasing a game on the 11th of September.
Yeah. You know what? That's fair. That's fair as well. It's unfortunate that we live in a world now where we have to be very cognitive of what dates there are because of tragedy, but well, that's a different podcast altogether that we can talk about.
In a few years, every day will be a bad year. Every day is a bad day.
How do you think, Jesse? You know, we've talked about Nintendo, this is one of the things I love about Nintendo, right? Everyone's doom and gloom. Oh, you know, Zelda we're not getting until next year. NX we're not getting until next year. And then out of the blue, like nowhere, out of nowhere, Nintendo says, by the way, you want a cheeseburger NES that plays some wicked old school games? Here you go. And the internet goes like nuts for it. And I'm hearing like, oh, I want pre-orders and this and that. How does this help Nintendo? Does this save face with them, kind of knowing where they are currently? Is this their bottom line?
I think it does. And while I don't think it's intentional, I think the hype of Pokemon Go is really helping this hype stay high.
And right.
As fast. If Pokemon Go didn't release yet or just completely flopped, this would have gotten me excited just because, you know, the collector. But I think in the general 30-something, 40-something audience wouldn't have caught on like they did because of the Pokemon Go.
Right, yeah. Yeah, like this and Pokemon Go are great examples. I mean, this one specifically. I mean, we do a show. My first video game console was an NES, yeah. Right? Like, I love this idea.
Both are riding the nostalgia train.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're all, like, on board, right? We're like, woot, woot. And the amount of tweets and messages that we got on our Patreon line and on our direct Twitter account were, like, people like, I am buying this for my daughter, and this is going to be her first video game console. I'm so excited. And like, that's awesome, right? Like, that's the energy that I love to see about what Nintendo does, their product does, and the ability to bring people together. Go ahead.
This is a good product for kids.
Absolutely.
The original NES is actually a rotten item for a kid. So many moving parts, so many things can go wrong quick.
Yeah.
With this, the only moving part you have to worry about is the power button and the reset button. Presuming they work the same way as before, they look like they could.
Right. It's funny though, like when I think, you know, you're kind of thinking like the problems with the NES, right? Like, but at the same time, as a kid growing up, like it kind of taught me of like how you can fix technical problems. Do you know what I mean? Like, take it out, blow in it. Just put the cartridge in just a little bit. Slide it down.
You know,
the thing open.
So how old were you when you had it? 8, 9?
I got it when I was 7, I think.
7. So yeah, that age is probably fine. I'm talking about like your 3 or 4 year old.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I know when my son was 3, you know, I had a Super Nintendo and I had some games on it, and he was able to play it and knew how to unplug it from one TV, move it to the other, and you know, within 3 months, that thing was destroyed.
Yeah.
Just because it's a 3-year-old playing a Super Nintendo.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. It makes total sense.
There's no concept of what it need of taking care of something at that age yet.
Right. Okay. Well, either which way, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it performs over Christmas. You know, we're all upset we're not getting the NX, but looks like Nintendo, you know, is probably making a smart play during Christmas holidays.
Yeah, this definitely will make some people a little bit happier. Because right now, other than this, we're looking at Pokemon for the holiday game.
Yeah.
Because yeah. Even Paper Mario would have already been out by this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, again, an example of you don't know what Nintendo's got up its sleeve, right? Out of nowhere, this thing comes out. So,
speaking of out of nowhere, things come out.
There you go. Good segue. I was thinking that as I was drinking my bottle of water. Those of you that are watching this on YouTube, I was like, drink. I was like, that's making a good transition. Yeah. Speaking of, tell me, Jesse, what's out of nowhere today?
Okay. Actually, I know nothing about this other than this headline.
Other than the show notes. Okay.
Animal Crossing, the new Leaf got an update.
Yeah, so Animal Crossing New Leaf will get amiibo support and more content. So this was Nintendo of Japan announced that, again, Animal Crossing New Leaf for the Nintendo 3DS will be getting new content and amiibo support starting this autumn. Now, this is kind of crazy. Jesse, how long has this game been out for?
4 years, I think.
4 years, and I mean, now here's the thing. When I first started playing Animal Crossing, I didn't have any reference point. I knew of Animal Crossing.
New Leaf was my first Animal Crossing.
Yeah, and my first one was Happy Home Design, but everyone's like, no, you need to play New Leaf. And obviously, good friend of the show, Josh Thomas, he is like a foaming at the mouth Animal Crossing New Leaf advocate. Like, I am sure right now he's like fainting. We should actually just kind of like brought him into the call and see what's going on. To hear his thoughts on this. But, like, this is crazy. A game 4 years later is getting connections. So I'm going to just kind of read through. Now, this is...
All right, before you do, I looked up the release date. And Japan was November 2012. So by the time this release, the update comes out, it will be almost 4 years.
Yeah.
For them. We got it in June of the next year.
Okay.
So it's been about 3 years now.
Well, 3 years. Still a good amount of time for sure, right? So
because this game was released before really Nintendo started updating games.
Yeah.
So we figured this was not going to be anything different than this.
Yeah. This is what it is, folks. Right. Now this is interesting, right? So now you're going to, I mean, Animal Crossing for some, I think this is a smart play by Nintendo. Yeah, I think it's a smart play. So let's talk about what's going to happen. They're expecting you'll probably see a sales bump. Because makes
those,
sense.
All those Animal Crossing amiibo went well.
Yeah. So you can scan your cards, causing villagers to come to your village. So if you have amiibo cards, you can apparently do that. Animal Crossing figures are compatible. They didn't really mention how in this detail, and also has collaboration with other series of amiibos. So, for example, like Callie and Marie. So they actually have images I'm seeing of like where someone has used Callie and Marie's, have come into the game and have like a room themed Splatoon. And like your villager is wearing like Splatoon kit, your character. So, yeah, like it seems like there's a lot of cross functionality on this for sure. So that's very cool. So I don't know, what are you thinking of this? Is that cool or am I crazy?
I think it's cool, and I'm sure there are people who play this every day and they'll love the update. I didn't dig the game, and it's not going to be enough for have me go back to it. Another thing is, you know, 3 years ago we didn't have new 3DSs yet.
Yep.
So most of the people, especially the younger kids, will have the original 3DS, which not amiibo compatible. So I wonder if they're going to stock up on the add-on bases? Maybe?
It could be.
Because I've actually never seen one in the wild. I'm sure the game stops keep them in the back, but they've never seen them on display saying, yes, we sell these. So you kind of have to know what you're looking for in order to get it.
Yeah, that's exactly it, right? Like they were kind of different, right? They were not necessarily. You've got to go find that hockey puck, right? And presumably those will go on sale.
Yes.
So, yeah. Let's as we talk about this, what are your we know that Nintendo is going to be using one of their mobile games coming up soon. Is Animal Crossing. How do you think this might impact that game? Or where do you think this tie-in, this connective tissue might be? Because this is very strategic, right? The decision that they're making right now to give this game, a game that is 3 to 4 years later, an amiibo bump, right? A content bump. I am sure in that update there is patch information or some kind of background system that is going to connect in with the mobile game that they're going to release.
They did say it was going to have some connectivity with other games. They did
in the series.
They didn't specify if they meant prior or future or both, but so it would definitely make sense for them to be adding Nintendo Network. I mean, My Nintendo logins, so you can pair, log in to both games, your mobile, your 3DS, with the same login and have stuff share.
Yeah, so that's kind of that's
what they'll do with that sharing. I have no idea.
Yeah. Like I feel like this is Nintendo starting to get there, and we know that this mobile game is coming in autumn. That aligns with what we're seeing here. I think this is all going to come into some like part and parcel connective tissue there. But I think it's interesting that they're drawing people back to Animal Crossing. And to your point earlier, we know those amiibos and those cards. I mean, the cards I think sold all right. The actual figure is not so great. I don't know, like this. This almost makes me kind of want to go buy Animal Crossing, not because it has amiibo, but because I know, like, with the addition of the amiibo, with the mobile support, my kids are going to dig this probably, right? My kids loved Happy Home Design, right? They're probably going to love this. So why did you not like it? And I'm not saying like you should have, but
it was fun for a while, but it just seemed like it felt like a job.
Okay.
I'm just doing the same thing over and over again every day for 10, 15 minutes. This wasn't very exciting for me.
Sure. That's fair. That is fair. All right.
That and normally, when I play a 3DS game, I only play one game at a time. I'll put it in sleep mode and just come back to it later, even if I can save it and come back later. This is not the type of game that is... This is the type of game meant to be played for a little bit and then you shut it down and then bring something else up. But if I brought something else up, Animal Crossing never came back again because I'd play one game at a time.
Right. One second here.
Which right now my game is Ocarina of Time.
Oh, you're okay. Fair enough. All right. So, we're going to just I'm excited. This is very interesting. Okay. So let's do this. We're going to move over to our next topic, but I think we're going to come back to this Animal Crossing thing in a couple moments from now. Detective Pikachu gets a movie. This just like hot off the presses today. Jesse, what are your thoughts on this thing?
Well, we knew Nintendo was in talks with various studios in Japan to create a Pokemon live action movie. We just didn't know what else was going to happen with it. What I was hoping for was something more along the lines of a retelling of much like what Origins was last year, a kind of retelling of Red's adventure.
Right.
In live action and CG. Apparently, we're not getting that. We're getting a movie based on a game that hasn't been released outside of Japan yet.
Yeah, that's the thing that I was kind of like, I feel like, this definitely feels like we would be getting this game soon then in North America if you're going to all of a sudden make a movie out of it.
It does make, I'm sure if those surveys or petitions asking for Danny DeVito to voice Pikachu haven't died yet, there'll be more coming up.
Right.
Instead of voicing him for the game, we'll voice him for the movie.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to take a pause right there. We got a special caller coming in.
We do?
We do. Hold on a second. We're bringing him in right now. Hold on. Here we go.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
We do have a special caller on the line. On the line with us today, like a caller. Like he didn't actually call, we connected him. But Josh Thomas. You did call in. You called me specifically. Good friend of the show, Josh Thomas, our resident Animal Crossing friend, who right now is working his way through a pizza, from what I'm seeing here.
Nom.
Buddy, what's going on? How are you today?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Not bad. So we saw this Animal Crossing news today. Obviously, I'm sure you did. And I wanted to know where's your headspace with this? Because I've always been on the fringe of Animal Crossing, you know that. But I know you've always been like super passionate and loving it. How is this landing with you? And what are your thoughts? And I don't know.
I mean, it's something that would have been a lot more exciting 3 or 4 years ago, for sure. Because right. the game's a little bit old by now, and it's definitely something that I expected to happen, but I assumed it would be with the next Animal Crossing as far as like amiibo support goes, you know, scanning in your Nintendo amiibo to get cool furniture or clothing or something like that. I think it's kind of cool the way that they're actually going to do some animals. Like there's a Callie and Marie Inkling version of animals, which yep. is sort of strange and interesting. I'm not actually a huge fan of the idea of being able to just scan one of the amiibo cards and getting that animal to move into your town, because I kind of feel like that's going to make the game last a shorter period of time for you.
So Josh, as a person who hasn't played that version, how would you normally get those people to come to your village?
Well, so animals move into your village at a totally random layout. Like you can't really guess who's going to come to your village. It's always a surprise.
Okay.
And so the more you talk to an animal, the less likely they would be to move away. So yeah, it kind of takes the surprise element out of it. And yeah, sometimes you do get an animal that you think is hideous and you hate their personality and you don't like them and you're hitting them with a net every day and stuff. But I feel like that's really kind of, that's part of the charm though of Animal Crossing. I feel it's a lot like real life. You have to have the bad times and the annoying times to really appreciate the great times. And so I don't know, it's not the worst thing in the world to be able to just say, hey, I really like Stitches the bear. I have the amiibo card. I'm going to scan it in and get him to move into my village. I think it's not the worst thing, but I do think that they're kind of maybe getting on dangerous ground here if they really push more of that kind of functionality. It's almost like it's kind of like pay to win. You know, mm-hmm. there's some games that are like that. I feel like Animal Crossing is just you got to go with it. You got to wing it. And so, yeah, I'm more interested in the amiibo support that's going to give you items and furniture and clothing, that kind of stuff.
What are you hoping for in that content, right? Those furnitures, those pieces. What is something that you're like, I really hope that's going to happen?
Well, Animal Crossing already definitely has Nintendo items. There is the Blue Falcon from F-Zero, you know, Captain Falcon's vehicle you can get. You can get some Pikmin stuff. You can get a lot of Mario stuff, Zelda stuff. So they already have done that. So I guess just kind of pushing that further, you know, just looking at some of the amiibo, for example, I love Captain Rain, or not Captain Rain, but Chibi Robo. You mm-hmm. know, the little Chibi Robo amiibo. So I'd like to see some sort of maybe a little Chibi Robo hat or something like that. You know, generally just, I guess there's already like Legend of Zelda stuff, like I said, but I don't know, just kind of, you know, furniture for all the different amiibos I think would be great.
Right, right on. So what, the other question I kind of have for this is, as it's, my thought was, you know, they're putting this patch in. It's probably also there's going to be some kind of code in there, some kind of work that's going to connect now more to the mobile game they're going to come out with. Do you think there's more connective tissue here? And now that you kind of know the strategy Nintendo's coming up with, and I think it's a little bit crazy that, you know, 3 to 4 years later, you're kind of like, and I don't want to use a word like resurrecting because it wasn't dead, but like to have a patch this far past a game is open to kind of like refresh it. I think there's code back there for that mobile game. What do you think now this might entail? Or does that make you even more excited about the mobile side of it?
So, yeah, I think it could be for two reasons. The first reason is, yeah, I do suspect that this means they are not even close to being ready with Animal Crossing NX, which is a big bummer to me. And so they're going to want this mobile app or whatever it becomes to connect with New Leaf. And then maybe down the line they'll connect it with NX or whatever. But I do think this means that they've been fiddling around with New Leaf and getting it to actually be updated to work with this new app. And I think that maybe is why they're just also putting this, like, you know, amiibo kind of stuff in there. Which is, you know, again, I love New Leaf. I think Animal Crossing New Leaf is the best Animal Crossing game. And, you know, Lord knows I've enjoyed it a lot. I've produced hundreds of videos for that game. But I am to this point where I don't necessarily think anything's really going to pull me back into Animal Crossing New Leaf. This is the type of thing that I'll probably play for like a day or two just to see the new stuff they added with Amiibo. And then after that, I'm going to go back to kind of ignoring my town there and counting down the days and seconds until they start talking about Animal Crossing for NX. But I also think that this is a move to sell unwanted Animal Crossing amiibo.
Exactly.
Right. So the Smash Brothers amiibo were a big success because I think they were closely related to Smash Brothers for the Weezing Amiibo Festival, which is a little bit less loved. So I think this uphill battle where God, how are we gonna get this to be a demand? And I think this is one of the ways.
Oh, I would say we know that the cards actually just bring the villagers to the figures.
Right. The Animal Crossing Amiibo cards definitely are about bringing the character to potentially move into your village. And as for the figures, I don't know that they've necessarily talked about the Animal Crossing figures, but they have spoke about, like, you know, the Callie and Marie Amiibo from Splatoon. Those will give you special stuff for Splatoon, like wallpaper furniture, accessories, and, you know, furniture.
Nice.
I think we're having Skype problems.
They're cutting out a little bit.
Way to go, Skype. Josh's. Yeah, okay. Josh, anything else on the...
Should we try to drop and recreate the call?
Sure, we'll do that.
All right, now let me stop the recording and create a new track, and I'll piece them together later.
Okay, I'll reconnect with Josh in a second. Hold on.
Okay.
Any final thoughts there, Josh, on kind of Animal Crossing or the updates or any of that kind of good stuff?
No, I think that's pretty much it. Jesse, you were saying something about there's a sale.
Eli and Cass Lush was talking about on Twitter, and I got roped into the conversation that there's a sale on Animal Crossing Amiibo in front EB Games Australia for $4 each for 4 days.
Yeah, it's funny because there was actually a Japanese website that was trying to get through their stock of the Animal Crossing Amiibo, and they were selling them for like the equivalency of $1 each.
Wow.
And I also saw Amazon had them for $3 for a while. I've seen stores around me. They were buy one, get one free, and the price to buy one was $8. So you could get two of them for the price, like for $8. And so, it's, you know, these are, I don't know, from everything I've seen, they don't seem to be as popular as the Smash Brothers Amiibo. And I just kind of wonder if it's because they did not launch with a game that people were passionate about, and certainly Amiibo Festival did not get very good reviews or good reception. So that could be one of the factors.
So the individuals are $4 each. And the Amiibo Festival bundle that has the two Amiibo, $19. And the three pack that has KK and the two sheep was $9.
Oh my gosh, I paid full price for these, so I'm kind of feeling disappointed in myself. Could have got them much cheaper if I just waited a while.
Now, Josh, did you end up collecting the cards too, or just the figures?
I did. I actually had probably like 60 of the cards, and then I realized I don't want these. I don't think they're interesting. I didn't think they were like interesting as a collectible card because there wasn't like a bunch of fun information on the back or anything like that. And it was just a basic render of the character. So I wasn't really interested in the cards. And I actually slapped them up on eBay. And I think I made like $50 for the pack of like for a big stack of like 60 of them. Nice. And it's funny because going into stores around me, like a Target or a Walmart or whatever, they have just got a full giant stack of these cards that are just like overflowing off into the like under the ground and stuff, and it doesn't seem like anybody is buying them. And I feel like, you know, it's because Nintendo thought of the gimmick before they thought of the game, and you got to do it the other way around.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's what we're seeing that with, you know, they're looking at it as like, well, we got Animal Crossing New Leaf, that was a massive selling game. I think that's the number 3 best-selling game on the 3DS, by the way. I could be wrong, but I just looked it up today, and that's the information I got. So I guess they're saying, well, let's try to get through some of this dang stock of Animal Crossing Amiibo by somehow relating them to the best-selling Animal Crossing game.
Let's inflate our revenue before the end of fiscal year as much as we can.
Exactly. No kidding. Yeah. Just before we let you go, Josh, because Josh, we don't want your pizza to get too cold. The other topics that we're talking today, if you want to lean into them, is the NES Classic Edition. And Detective Pikachu gets announced as a movie today. Any of those ring a bell with you, or any thoughts on those?
I didn't even know about the Detective Pikachu stuff.
Yeah, just about 3 hours ago.
See, I got to listen to Nintendo Dance to learn about this stuff.
We were name dropping you earlier, too. We were just trying to help you out, trying to boost your credibility.
So there's going to be a movie. I'm assuming it's in Japan for Detective Pikachu.
The location has not been yet announced. Legendary Films has announced it today.
Is that a Japanese film?
No, Legendary did Inception.
Oh my god! So that would be an American Western studio working on the game.
Yes,
working on a game that hasn't been released in the West.
Yeah. Wow, that's really huh. I mean, is that going to be like for kids or I have no idea what to think about this. The game was confusing enough for me, and now a movie based on it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Live
Is it
action, coming from Legendary Films. Production expected to begin in 2017. This is coming directly off of IGN. Danny DeVito is yet not confirmed for the voice. We're all hoping for it, but not yet.
So it
Universal Pictures will distribute the film internationally, except in Japan, where it will be distributed by Toho Pictures. Sources tell a Hollywood Reporter that Netflix was also interested in the rights.
Does IGN actually name drop him, or did he just throw that in there?
No, that was just me in there.
Okay.
Actually, though, at the very end says Andrew is IGN's executive editor of the news and really hopes Danny DeVito stars in the movie.
So is this going to be a movie in theaters, or is they going to go for like a Netflix thing?
This sounds like, well, I would assume this is going to be an actual in theaters release.
Strange. It's very
Yeah,
strange.
with especially with Universal being the distributor, I would assume for sure, right? But I mean,
Yeah.
this is interesting, right? Like, it's and I mean, this is good timing, right? Pokemon Go, has basically swept the world. So this is a hot topic there. And now, interestingly enough, Detective Pikachu has not come to North America yet. Now you have a you've played it, have you not? Am I wrong or am I right in
I've
that?
no, I've never played Detective
Okay.
Pikachu, no.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. This is and I don't know if I was to go to the Pokemon well, I don't know if Detective Pikachu is the thing I'm going to do first.
Yeah, that's the same thing I was thinking. I was thinking, why not make like a live action Pokemon movie that like, has sort of teens as the trainers and has like CGI Pokemon and stuff.
Which is
I don't
exactly
think I
what I
would.
just said 20 minutes
Yeah.
ago.
Yeah.
I said, like, just similar to Origins from last year, just a retelling of Red's story.
So
Because I know
this is
that Hollywood has
interesting.
wanted a Pokemon movie for a very long time. They keep hounding the Pokemon Company and Nintendo. They want to work with them so bad. So it'd be really weird if this is the project they give the green light to.
So this is interesting. It actually says Legendary Pictures has announced it has acquired the film rights to Pokemon
Okay.
and will begin production on a Detective Pikachu film next year. So not only have they, so they've actually got the entire rights to Pokemon, but they're starting with Detective Pikachu.
That wouldn't be what I would do. That's just
No.
that's very strange. I'm amazed. I just talked to Roger today. We had a discussion, and he'd mentioned none of this. Is this just like brand new, hot off the presses?
This was as of like 3 hours ago.
Okay, I talked to him before that. I got to see what his thoughts are on this. I'm amazed he hasn't been texting me about this.
As I say, is he online right now?
No, he's not on Skype.
What a jerk.
Kind, you know what? See, you guys. Who's the guy you guys can depend on?
Josh Thomas.
This guy right here.
All the time. All the time. Either that or I was gonna like bring in Dan Koopman too. I mean, he was online. But we went to Josh first. I mean, that's the way it works. It's the way it works.
Dan's a good guy.
So
Dan's a
yeah,
good
I don't know. Yeah, Danny DeVito, we're all hoping, right? The internet petitions will now begin.
I think it'd be
Or
amazing. Yeah, I love.
they'll resume.
Yeah, they will resume. And he'll still say, "What the hell's a Pokemon?"
But
So.
I think he'd do it.
Oh, absolutely. Now he would, right?
No,
Like.
he practically played one in the Batman movie.
Yeah, there you
Oh.
go. I was just going to reference he's been the Penguin.
Yeah, that's a good point. So.
What was the first bit of news you brought by me, though?
The NES Classic
Oh,
Edition. So obviously
yeah.
that was about a week ago, but we're that broke after last episode for us.
So I think that's cute. I think it's smart. Obviously, they don't really have much to sell this holiday season. That's not me being facetious. That's just me being literal. So I think it's a smart idea to say, hey,
Yeah,
you know what?
agreed.
That's going to pander to a great audience too. That honestly, I feel that's going to pander to that audience that bought a Wii in 2006 because they're that audience that's in like their mid-30s. They grew up with the NES. They've got some little kids of their own. I think having this little tiny, cheap version of an NES, cheap as in price-wise, and being able to have all those games right on it, it's going to be nostalgic for them. They're going to be able to play with their kids. I think that's going to be a big part of that audience. I think it's going to be a success.
I like it. Yeah, I agree. I would also be saying this is actually what the NX is. They're just going to scrap the NX and just do this for now on.
I hope not, because I've played a lot of these games, and
Yeah,
I'm mostly going to buy this for like cute
it'll
factor.
be hard to play Breath of the Wild on this thing.
Yeah. Joke's on you, it was never coming out. Nice.
We'll get an
Excellent.
8-bit Zelda 3, Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. All
But yeah,
right.
I think it's cute. I think
Yeah.
it's going to do well.
Nice. So, Josh, I know you've got some Pizza Hut out of the oven. I'm sure you got a busy night tonight working on some stuff. Where should we direct all of the people to come see all everything? You're a common contributor to the show. People probably know, but for anyone new, where should they go?
They can search for the BitBlock on YouTube. And there's going to be actually, you know what? Speaking of Roger, I'm going on vacation to Orlando, Florida with this man in just more days. And there's going to be a whole bunch of videos of our trips to Disney. We're going to be doing tons of vlogs from there and videos and all sorts of stuff.
That's awesome. And is it Universal that no longer has Jaws in Florida?
You had to bring this up, didn't you, Justin?
Sorry. Sorry, buddy. I'm a jerk that way.
These wounds will never heal. They're always
raw
wounds.
I know your love for it. I was like, but here's the thing. I couldn't remember if it was the Florida one or if it was California.
It's Universal Orlando, yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
But one of the things we're going to film, actually, is we are going to scope out where we feel Nintendo Land is going to be. So we're going to be literally there being like, no, this can move. This can go. So we're gonna do a whole video speculating where Nintendo Land is gonna be built at Universal Orlando.
Then you'll plan another trip in 10 years and see if you're right.
You guys should just go before you head over there. Head over to like a dollar store or whatever it is and buy like sidewalk chalk and just start like walking around the park, like etching out where it should actually be in sidewalk chalk and like marking off. I'm sure, that won't get you kicked out at all.
I've done way worse at Universal and didn't get kicked out, so I think we're good.
You're good. You're screwed.
I think I can announce this. It's been a couple of years. I think the law doesn't still stand for this. I stole a chunk of the bathrooms from the Jaws ride when the bathrooms were still there. Took a big chunk of. There's like, you know, the bathrooms were made out of like wood siding, and the only thing remaining from the Jaws ride was the bathrooms. They were still exactly as they used to be.
Wow.
They're like the town hall bathrooms. So I was like, you know what? I'm taking a piece of the siding. I just ripped it off, put it in my pants, and walked around with it for the whole day. And a rusty nail from 1990 was stabbing me in the side as I went on roller coasters and stuff.
That can't be comfortable at all. Or sanitary.
I got tetanus, but it was worth it because I've got an amazing amazing gift from Universal. So yeah, I've done worse.
Souvenir.
That's
Roger was talking about spray painting the Woody Woodpecker stuff to make it look like Falco, kind of get to work on that Nintendo Land thing.
Nice. Just keep asking all the attendants. So where's the Nintendo Land stuff?
We're definitely going to hound them about where Nintendo Land's going. They don't know, I'm sure, but still.
Oh, they have no clue. Absolutely no clue.
No.
All right, sir. Well, thanks for jumping on. We'll let you be, and safe travels on your holiday, eh?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me, guys. Anytime.
No worries. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey.
Yeah, it's very Canadian. Of course, I'm very Canadian that way. So awesome. So yeah, it was great to have Josh kind of jump on there and talk about a little bit of everything. I like it. All right. Jesse, anything else that you want to talk about before we move on to what we've been playing?
I think we're good to go.
All right. So I'm going to grab a bumper here. Again, I don't really know what bumper we're going to have.
Spin the wheel and we get...
Spin the wheel of bumpers. Dun, 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 dun. Here we go, folks. Ready? I can't play that bumper. That's the end bumper. I'm sorry. Imagine there's a really good bumper here. All right, Jesse, we're going into what have you been playing. Jesse, let's start with you. What have you been playing, sir?
Okay, well, other than Pokemon Go, which I do want to talk about that a little bit. I was able to get to 11. I actually threw some money at it just because I ran out of Pokeballs. So, and I figured, you know, that app kind of deserves it. I think, you know, it caught my attention enough that it deserves some of my money. So I gave it $10 to get 1,200 coins, and I ended up buying 200 Pokeballs and an incubator, and I'll probably pick up another incubator with whatever I have left. I'm trying to log in now to see what my Pokedex looks like, but it looks like servers might be down again. Nope, here it comes up. Okay, I have caught 45 and seen 46. The only one that I've seen and didn't catch was a Golbat, you know, like a week ago. And I think the last two rare ones that I picked up was a Ghastly. I finally got one today, and then a Geodude. I hatched, and I don't think I've ever seen one on the radar at all. So that's kind of rare around here. So I got one of those. And Paris just spawned, so I'm going to try to catch it while I talk.
Nice.
So then, again, work's been pretty busy, so I haven't been able to do a lot of gaming. But I did what little time I did have, I did start up Ocarina of Time again on the 3DS. I remember I tried it a few weeks ago, but it shut off on me before I could save it.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I was sure to not have that problem, and I saved often. Save early, save often.
It's good. I like it.
So I just got to the point where I'm up into the Goron City for the first time. So I'm still really early on.
Perfect.
That's pretty much all I've been doing.
All right. Very cool. So I much like you, are into the Pokemon Go. So it finally released up here in the Great White North, of Canada. And that was released, it was like noon on Sunday. And I was out in Medicine Hat, not too far from Lethbridge, about 2 hours out with my good friends. They had their son's birthday party. And I'm out there, and like we're out kind of in a park. And there's tons of people zipping around, like stopping, and like they've all got their phones out, and kids are playing. And like I'm literally watching Pokemon Go in front of me, essentially, right? But I'm not participating. And I was like, this is it. Like, I'm just going to do this iTunes US thing. I'm going to flip this, all this, you know, I'm getting frustrated, right? Cause it looks like a good time. But finally Sunday at like noon o'clock, boom, they release it, download it. Of course, the moment I download it, their servers crash, not a shock there. And we begin this kind of fiasco, but I now have had it for 3 days where I've been actively playing it. I'm on level 7. Seven and a half, I guess, is kind of where I truly am. I have picked my team. It's Team Valor.
I think Zach, and I know I've also picked Valor, and I think Zach's also picked it. So the three of us are all Team Red.
Yeah, that's right.
That's kind of surprising.
Yeah, that is a little bit shocking for us.
Considering the three of us normally can't agree on anything.
No, that is a little bit odd. I'm glad we all came to that completely by ourselves, actually. So yeah, I've been playing it, for my Pokedex. I have caught 24. I've seen 25. The one I missed out on was a Growlithe. There we go. So that looks pretty cool.
I haven't seen one of those yet.
No. So by me, there are a fair bit of Pokemon stops. There is probably like directly from my house. I got to go about half a kilometer to a lake, and there's one there. And then there's like 7 really close to college, which is about 2 kilometers where I am. So that's pretty easy. But what I've been doing, and if you follow me on Twitter at Masson23, this last week, this Monday, I decided to start a fitness challenge. Ironically, basically the same day I started Pokemon Go. Because I was like, I like gamification, I like fitness, let's see what happens here. In the last 2 days, Jesse, I have walked 13 kilometers and I have biked 12 kilometers. So I have traveled 25 kilometers in 3 days of exercise. I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, start exercising at 5:30. It's either a walk or a ride. And you know what? My path is all about Pokemon stops. And I don't really know why. I don't like it. It's sort of compelling, but I feel
Pokemon,
like it's,
you don't need a reason. There's Pokemon stops.
Yeah. It just kind of incentivizes me. And so I have my podcast running in the back, like when I'm listening, when I'm walking, plus I have the app running at the exact same time. So everything has like that Pokemon bass music on the background as I'm listening to podcasts.
Oh, I shut that music off the first thing I did.
Oh, I should do that. Shut it off. But don't. But no, because I want to listen because I want to hear when the Pokemon come up.
Well, you can still keep sound effects on, but the music off.
Oh, well, now I'm interested. So yeah, that's been very cool. I have enjoyed it. It's been a very interesting experience. Of course, there's been some server lags every once in a while and problems.
In fact, battery save mode is not working. That didn't work initially.
Oh no.
So if you enable battery save on, you know. Basically, if you turn your phone upside down, then the screen will dim, and you know it'll still vibrate when something's near, so you can get your attention. But with the screen dimmed, it won't you know, it won't be, it's not rendering all the graphics all the time, and it's not burning all that energy just showing a bright screen. And then when you want it back again, just flip the phone back up. So
nice.
Turn it upside down, pocket it, and it'll be in low power mode with the app still running, so all your kilometers for your egg counts and whatnot.
Yeah, I've been with my walks. I've definitely been scoring those egg counts. I'm not going to lie to you. So that's been pretty neat. Yeah, it's, you know, it's been a very cool experience, and it's very interesting to watch socially as well. So, you know, Monday when I was kind of like, I only had the game for like 12 hours, basically 24 hours. I was downtown Lethbridge, and downtown Lethbridge, there is a ton of Pokemon gyms and stops, like just kind of in the downtown core. I was in that area. And like, I kind of was, you know, looking at where the maps were, like, oh, there's a stop right there. I'm going to head up to it. And I like look up for a second, and there's like 5 to 10 people crowd around one exact area. And they look across the street, and there's another 5, 10. I was like, what? And then a couple of them had like a purple haze around it. And I was like, oh, that's the incense stuff right there. They're trying to bring Pokemon there. And so I just like, we all sat there, and it was such a, it's such a weird thing to watch.
The incenses are only used for you. But if at the Pokestop, it's the lure that can be turned on.
Oh, the lure. Okay.
And then that affects anyone within range.
Okay. So I was in range. But it was so interesting to see people just kind of do this thing. So I like it. I think it's very interesting. I wonder how long we're going to stay attached to it. But I mean, it's done tremendous things for Nintendo. Their stock was almost at one point up by double. It's dropped down a little bit. They actually surpassed Sony as the most, financially the most powerful technology company in Japan, with their stock increase. So that's pretty,
wow.
That's pretty incredible, actually. Thanks to this game. So yeah, continue to play it. I'm going to introduce it to my kids in a little bit. I want to kind of just make sure that I understand it more before I introduce it to them. I also think it's going to just like, as soon as I introduce it to them, it's going to be like crack. Like they're just going to be all over it. So that's scary.
A good check out the Game Explained videos. They do a pretty good job of explaining what is true. They actually did a myths video. Here's the most common myths. And only one of them was actually true. And one of them is yet to be determined.
Yeah, I ended up watching that actually today, and it was about renaming one of your the Evo one?
The Eevees.
Eevees, yeah. So that's been kind of cool. The other thing that I thought has been kind of really interesting is, now again, my primary exposure to Pokemon before this was the game we played for Retro Rewind, right? So I didn't actively go searching this. So when I see these renderings of these Pokemon come up, I'm like, trying to explain to people, I'm like, it looks like a hairball with arms and legs.
Oh, it's a Mankey.
And they're like... Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay, it's that thing, right? So it's kind of interesting to kind of like learn a little bit more about these Pokemon as we go as well.
Well, the anime kind of did that back in the late 90s to bring these things to life for the first time. Even though it's not 3D rendering, it's still a 2D animation, and it still did a lot more to bring the Pokemon to life than just the 8-bit sprite on the game on a black and white screen.
Nice. I like it. So yeah, Pokemon Go. It's a thing. I'm liking it. Nothing too new that I'm sure everyone here hasn't already talked about, but very, very cool. I'm also playing Donkey Kong Country for our Retro Rewind, so that shouldn't be a shock as well. If you're not playing Donkey Kong Country, hey, what are you doing with yourself? Seriously, think about it. You should be doing that. So yeah, that's what we've been playing. With that being said, we got some mail. Let's jump into our mail. What do you say, Jesse?
Sure. We're going to try to spin the bumper wheel again.
Spin the bumper wheel. Let's see what we got here. I might.
I think that's our title.
Spin the bumper wheel. I like it. Let's see if I can find something here. Hold on. I'm just gonna play something. Okay. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. All right. We might get copyrighted for that. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Anyways. All right. Moving in the postman, guys. We got some mail here to talk about. Let's start off with the first one. Hey, guys. Just wanted to start out by saying that the podcast is awesome. Listen to it on the drive to and from work. I love how informal it feels. How informal it is feels like conversation you have in a pub with friends. You know what? That's awesome. That's exactly what we like to do. Our first child is due around August 10th. Do you have any advice for a soon-to-be father? How did you manage to get game time in for game or time in for gaming when your children were born? With the NX due out-ish, I don't want to miss out. I've already told my wife that the baby wants the new NES console as well. Keep up the good work, Paul Lloyd. And Paul Lloyd actually just recently became a Patreon subscriber as well. So, Paul, thank you very much. And, Paul, if I'm back in your neck of the woods over across the pond, we will have to meet up for a pint as well, my friend. So that would be awesome. Jesse, now, you're a little bit further along in the parenting methodology, but do you remember, you know, were you able to get gaming in when your kids were born?
Actually, if I remember right, I actually fell out of gaming about the time when my kids were born. So I really didn't do, I did a little PC gaming still, but at that time we had no console I think we still had an N64, but really didn't play much of it. You know, the games I did play with my wife were pretty much two-player games like Mario Party. But I really didn't get much, you know, past 2000, I really didn't play many games until I picked up the, you know, PS2 and GameCube, you know, back around 2003, 2004. And then started getting back into gaming. So I'm probably not a good one to answer this question because at the time I wasn't gaming much.
Well, that's fair. Paul, I have actually given your question a lot of thought actually over last week when I saw it come into our email. So here's the thing that I would say for as a new parent, for children, whatever gaming time you think you had before, you don't have anymore. Let's just start with that. Like, things are going to change. Let's have a bit of a reality moment. However, you can still get gaming, and I'm going to tell you how. So with my youngest, my firstborn, what I would do, and again, I think Zach talked about a couple of shows ago, but the importance of, like, if it's important to you, schedule it. Find how do you fit that into your schedule? What do you need to do? And then it actually kind of connects even a little bit with, like, my fitness thing right now. Like, how do you build time when your rest of your time is with your family and you need to be focused with your family? Is you need to find those times when, to be honest, they're not awake, right? Or present. So, you know, the reason I work out in the morning really early between 5:30 and basically 7 is my family's asleep, right? So I have the ability. So that's not taking away from their time or our quality together or assisting my wife. So as a parent, though, what I did when my kids were born, typically I would game on the weekends. I'd game on like Friday and Saturday. And what would happen is, like, Friday night when my wife would go to bed, I'd go to bed with her and, you know, make sure she was asleep, make sure our child was asleep. And I would take the baby monitor with me, and we have a 4-level split. So I would actually, my gaming console is kind of on the 3rd level, and I would take the baby monitor down to the 3rd level with me. And that way, what I'm doing is I'm listening for if my kid is crying or upset or wakes up. So what I would do is I would actually, after my families went to bed at like 10:30, 11 o'clock on a Friday night, I'd go downstairs, I'd pop in a game into my Wii, and I'd play. And I would play from like 11 o'clock to probably about 3 o'clock. So give me about 4 hours of game time. And I was also playing games, and here's a big pro tip for you. Play games that are not smaller, but like it's not a massive open world RPG, JRPG. Like, it needs to be confined.
Don't play Xenoblade.
Yeah, it needs to feel like you're making progress, because you may not go back to that game for another 2, 3, 4 weeks because, you know, something else happens. The baby's colicky, the dirty diapers, you're exhausted. And it's really challenging to go back to a game. You're like, I don't remember what I was doing 6 weeks ago. Unless you're like somebody who writes down notes of what you're doing. You know, if not, you kind of need to pick up a game smaller. Like, Mario was fantastic for us, right? Because I'm on level 4-1 when I started, and by the end of my 4-hour session, I'm on level 6-1, right? Like, that's confined enough. So I just, when you're thinking about the games you want to play, think about how they're either smaller or confined, or you don't, you know, it's not part of a large story arc that you need to be a part of, right? Now, the other thing also as well that this kind of does, and this is kind of where I think, you know, I would challenge us as fathers to kind of, you know, here we go, folks. I'm going to step on my soapbox now so everyone get comfy. But I would challenge us as fathers to kind of like step up a little bit in some of these things that we do as well. So also when my wife, you know, when my kid was upstairs and I had the baby monitor and my kid was crying, I pause my game and I go take care of my kid, right? I don't expect my wife to wake up to go take care of the kid, right? So you're the one who's awake. You're the one who's present. You know, let your wife get her sleep. Let your girlfriend, whatever it is, whoever this person is in your life. I think you mentioned here it was your wife, I believe. Let them get the sleep, right? You're already awake. You're and sure it's going to cut into a little bit of time, but you know what? Hey, pause the game. Go upstairs. Go change a dirty bum. Go grab a bottle. Go cuddle with your kid to make sure they're back asleep. And let your wife, your girlfriend, whoever it is, get that full sleep that they need. And the other thing is, you know, if you hear the baby crying, and maybe they're not on the bottle, but maybe they're on the boob, right? Like bring the baby to mom in bed or whatever it is, or help her to get her into the room so she can nurse, whatever it is, right? Like be present for those kind of things. So I think it was kind of, I guess my statement here is just kind of do your due diligence also in those times to be present to assist your family as they grow as well.
Yeah, you did touch on a little bit of what I wanted to say before we moved on was, you know, and what I'm going to say sounds like a duh, how am I going to forget that? But trust me, you will. You know, this goes for you and your wife. Don't forget to sleep. Don't forget to eat.
Yeah. Exactly. Absolutely. Right. Because and it's so easy for those things to, and especially when you're trying to like squeeze in these other things that you felt were really important, like gaming was really important in your life. You're trying to like squeeze that in. Like I was literally sacrificing sleep to get that thing in because I needed that. But in that awareness, I also had to understand that like I need to be present. If I hear my daughter crying, hey, you know what? I'm the one who's awake. I'm making that decision to be dumb and waste my time, my sleep time. Don't let that impact somebody else. So go upstairs, take care of your kid, do whatever it is so that your wife, your girlfriend can get the full sleep that she needs so that when she's, you know, cause like, here's the way I look at it. Wife, girlfriend, whoever it is, your mate, they've just spent 9 months of their life carrying a small child in them who has sucked a lot of their energy, time, probably made them feel very uncomfortable. And depending on the birth, I'm sure was probably not comfortable in any which way. Right. So allow that person the opportunity, the time to get their rest in that. But yeah, eating and sleeping is important for it as well. Yeah, take care of yourself, though, for sure. And I don't know. I probably want a bit of a rant there. And I don't mean to like, and I know like in our community, I know that we have amazing dads who take care of both their wives and their girlfriends, whatever it is, and their family first. And that is, you know, I think as men in society, you know, stepping up that mantle, right? This is not the old 1960s of like, hey, Susie, go get the baby, right? I'm doing my job. But we're all kind of, you know, modern millennial men who take care of our families and those things before ourselves. So I'd encourage you to do that. But I would also find ways to etch out times. Now, that was my tip for like how I would do it when they were at night sleeping. The other tip for you I'd have, Paul, is guess what? Mom and baby probably want daytime naps as well. Or baby probably wants daytime naps. These are great opportunities to have some gaming time, right? It's 2 o'clock on a Saturday in the afternoon, you know, put the little one down for their nap or whatever it is. And whether, you know, your wife just needs time or your girlfriend needs time to read a book or just go with her friends or relax. This gives you a bit of time to kind of just play some games as well. So that's kind of how I would approach it. But either way, Paul, congratulations also. I didn't say that. I apologize.
Yeah, gaming ahead, will just gaming in the priority list will change, and it'll, you know, when as your child gets older, gaming can come back up in the priority. So yep. Yeah, don't expect to game every day, but you know, get some in when you can. Keep your sanity, but more important, keep your health.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. And I agree that the baby's first NES console is probably a very good choice. So yeah, thanks, Paul, for bringing that in. Sorry, I probably went on a little bit of a rant there and like went down some rabbit holes and soapboxes, but I've been thinking about it for like a week now. So yeah, Paul, congratulations. And Paul, once you have your baby, like on August 10th, around August 10th, please let us know. Like send us a message, a tweet, an email, a picture. We would love to know that. So I love that. Next one comes from Neil from the UK as well. We got a lot of UK listeners. I love it. Nintendo Dad, just thought I would let you know that some of your listeners are aware about a current sale on Curve Digital Games on the eShop, US and European. They are some serious discounts on some great games, but you also get gold coins on the original price of the software. So it's a cheap way to accrue gold coins for the rewards program if you need a few more to get specific rewards. Thanks again for the great content week in and week out. Neil from the UK, and PS, he is on hashtag Team Marie. So yeah, thanks Neil. That's awesome. Curve Digital. Jesse, what games have Curve Digital made that we need to be aware of? I'm sure you're pulling
that right now. I just looked it up. Stealth Inc., Game of Clones.
Yep.
Thomas Was Alone, The Swindle, Lone Survivor.
Oh, yeah. Those are some great games.
Proteus, The Swapper.
Oh, The Swapper. I love The Swapper. That was a fantastic game.
Fluidity.
Oh, yeah. These are fantastic games.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Neil, guys, take up Neil's offer. Head over to Curve. Check it out. Those are some great games. Get some coins. I like that. All right, this next one comes in. Jesse, who does this next one come in from? This looks anonymous.
It was kind of anonymous. There is a slight hint of his identity in his signature, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
I'll read this one.
Sure. Okay.
Dear Dads, many Pokemon Go fans have grown increasingly frustrated with Niantic's lack of communication with fans. Most mobile game devs today will actively communicate with users via Twitter or Reddit on the status of bugs, such as the three-step bug in Pokemon Go. At what point does it become harmful to the long-term health of the game, and how much should Niantic focus on communicating with the users? Sincerely, the Great Canadian Therapist.
I don't know any great Canadian therapists. Do you? I know some mediocre therapists, maybe.
I was thinking the same thing.
I shouldn't say that. I love, So this is obviously from Zach. So, yeah.
But
go ahead.
Yeah, I think if this was any other game besides Pokemon, it would have already been harmful.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with Pokemon on it, it gives people kind of a thinner skin as to the problems. I do agree that there should be some sort of communication as to status, server issues. Just put out, have a webpage set up with what the server status is, or send out tweets saying, oh, sorry, we're down again, ETA 2 hours, and or something. Because I'm seeing a lot of people on various sites saying, oh, I couldn't log in, so I tried uninstalling and reinstalling it. Like blowing up your client's going to fix a server problem. That's not going to work. Or people clicked the try another account button, which for some reason the login with an old account doesn't exist. All it does is have you make a new account. So until they put that back in, you might have just lost all your status. Congratulations. And you have to start over. So basically, if the servers are down, don't mess with it. Just put it away. Try it again in an hour.
Yeah, and I do. I mean, I think you're right there, Jesse. Right, the fact that it's Pokemon kind of, unfortunately, kind of lets it get away with a little bit more than if it was just kind of a mom-pa smaller developer, right? But I do also agree with this Canadian therapist, Zach. That really, in this day and age of social media and communications, you need to be able to communicate a little bit better with your users.
Speaking of users, we just got a message in chat saying, what's up, you jerks, which is Zach.
Nice. Yeah. Way to go, jerks.
Nice timing, Z.
Yeah. So, yeah, I Pokemon Go, the actual Twitter account, I think, has been relatively proactive, I think, with communicating regarding their servers and trying to get information out and releasing, like, when the games were actually announced and released in the countries. But Niantic should – I don't know who's running that communication necessarily, but it wouldn't be a bad idea.
I would presume that's Niantic, but I think they need to have another Twitter account with a Niantic face on it doing some talking as well.
Absolutely. Jesse, any other kind of chat or questions in the comments or anything from there that, on the YouTube stuff, the YouTubes?
Let's see what we got here. We have NES Classic 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Love it.
Justin playing the heel card. Well done.
Thank you.
No Zach tonight should be interesting. And
okay.
Detective Pikachu is a total win.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Zach says they seriously need to get on that, though. Reddit is getting grumpy.
Yeah, Reddit's always grumpy, Zach. All right, they're always a little bit argy-bargy. Also, if you're a Reddit user, don't hate me, okay? I'm sorry. I'm just spilling some mean truth here. I'm just playing the heel card. Everything's mean.
Could be worse. Could be a 4chan user.
There you go. All right. So, Jesse, anything else we want to talk about, or is that kind of wrapping it up?
I think we can wrap things up.
All right. So, just guys, a couple of last things, a reminder. Hey, guys. Retro Rewind. We're playing Donkey Kong Country. You should be playing Donkey Kong Country as well. Speaking of Retro Rewind, you know what? We forgot to mention that the Postman is actually brought to us by patreon.com/NintendoDads. Our patrons currently are the people who vote for the games that we play. If you want to be able to actually express your vote for what we play, head over to patreon.com/NintendoDads and just $1 a month, and it lets you be able to do that. So that's awesome. Big shout-outs to Adam Leonard from Mega Dads for our Nintendo Dads commissioned art. Check out his have you checked out his art recently, Jesse? He's got some stuff on his Facebook page. He just finished off those 4 Mario scenes. They look freaking epic.
I saw that. Those are awesome.
I know. I'm totally thinking I want to reach out to him and get a copy for my house, in my office. I think it's amazing. So if you guys are interested in the amazing work that Adam does, you got to head over to either megadads.org or head over to find them on Facebook. They're all over the place, so it's pretty awesome. All right. Now, I'm not going to have the smooth cadence that Zach does for this outro, but let's see what we got. All right? As usual, guys, you can follow us on Twitter at @NintendoDads. Like us on Facebook, NintendoDads. Follow us on Instagram, NintendoDads. Email. I love email. I'm the guy who checks the email. Send us emails. We have people who love emailing. So send us emails to NintendoDads@gmail.com. Twitch, you can find us on Twitch. That's the thing we do. How about you like watching us live? Hey, you can do that. Go to youtube.com/c/NintendoDads, where you can see us live every single Wednesday night, approximately 9 o'clock Mountain Standard Time-ish, sort of. Also, check out the videos we do there on YouTube. We've got some unboxings. We've got some amiibos. We've got some plays. We've got some reactions. We got this show. All kinds of stuff. Also, call in and leave a voicemail, 929-25-NDADS or 929-256-3237. We actually did receive a voicemail.
We did. Last week. And I forgot about it until now.
And me forgot to pull to do it right now. Can we pull that quickly?
Probably not quickly.
Not quickly enough to lose my cadence. So, guys, we're going to play it next episode.
We'll do it next week when Zach's back.
I love it, yeah. Just blame it on Zach, guys. If something's not working, you don't like how the show went, blame it on Zach. Also, if you want to buy some sweet NintendoDads merchandise, go over to tinycc.com/NintendoDadsStore, all lowercase. Big thanks to OC Remix. Actually, not really thanking him for this episode because we're not using his music, I'm sure, because we don't have his music available. But speaking of availability, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and check us out on VGTribune.com. For myself, for Jesse, and for an absent Zach, and of course, a visiting Josh Thomas. Guys, thanks very much, and have a great day. Bye-bye!
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.